Okay, good evening. It's now 7:30 Michigan time. And we're in Barnabas chapter 3, starting with Rome verse 10. And that's page 148 in your book called The Lost Books of the Bible and the Forgotten Books of Eden. As we continue on here, we'll learn some more about the types and shadows. Okay, as Barnabas is expounding on some of these things. Which is also beneficial for our spiritual growth. Okay, so get your notepad ready, your highlighter and your pen, and let's get started here. I'll start though with verse 9. But having turned themselves to idols, they lost it. It means the Jewish leaders sought benefits of the law apart from faith in a covenant. Okay, and they also refused to come into the rest through the stewardship of Moses. Okay, which it has to do with, even though they escaped Pharaoh, yet they perished in the wilderness. Okay, which a lot of Christians are doing at this present time. Having escaped the presence of the world, yet they're entangled again in the wilderness. Okay, as concerning severing themselves from the government, not having the foundation of truth put within them, and not learning how to work with the Spirit. But having turned themselves to idols, they lost it, as the Lord also said to Moses, Moses, go down quickly, for your people which you have brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves and turned aside from the way. Okay, you might want to highlight the word the way there, because he's talking about that way of faith, okay, which I commanded them. And this is the policy which I set for their activity, but they refused it. Okay, and Moses cast two tables out of his hands, which also represented the frailty and temporariness of that covenant which he received from God. And their covenant was broken, okay, that the love of Jesus might be sealed in your hearts. See, under the hope of his faith. So Moses also showing that only Christ can remove the power of the law by a new law, okay, where faith, hope, and charity rule the passions. See, so the heart is free from Satan's oppressions. Okay, so we can see that even though the law was given by Moses, yet it didn't remove the power of sin from the flesh. But it did bring to the attention of the people as concerning their transgressions. Okay. So it says here, unto the hope of his faith and not of Moses as a contact point. So the contact point changed because the covenant changed. Okay, and therefore we're under the rest which Jesus provides for us, ceasing from iniquity, okay, by embracing this covenant. Okay, in verse 10. Wherefore let us give heed unto the last times, that seeing that the days of darkness are to come, as Barnabas is writing this down. Okay, Barnabas pinning this down was during the time when about the dawning of the sixth week, which is a time of darkness, began to overshadow the church. Okay, as a false religious system began to take root and began to compete against the truth through the embracing of fables. So wherefore let us give heed unto the last times. Okay, so Barnabas is showing here a comparison between those which came out of Egypt by Moses perishing in the wilderness, and that time of darkness came on them, okay, upon those which refused that covenant. So also today, those that come out of sin by the work of his redemption, okay, will become ensnared and entangled in the wilderness, okay, by not coming into covenant with him on those terms which he provided for their faith. For all the time past of our life and our faith and as humans will profit us nothing unless we continue to hate what is evil, okay, which means we have to abandon those things, okay, which produce faithlessness, okay, or false knowledge. False knowledge produces faithlessness. Okay, so we're to abhor those things which ruin the soul, embrace those things which give life, and to withstand the future temptations. Okay, which has to do, is going to come through a source called the mother of harlots. Okay, so this is what he's talking about right here. And to withstand the future temptations which a church is going to face until the time of separation. And the time of temptation comes upon the church again of that separation, which of course we're entering in now. Okay, the time of temptation is spoken of, okay, by Jesus and also by the Apostle John, okay, unto the church of Pergamos. Not Pergamos, the Church of Philadelphia, okay, which talks about the hour of temptation which come upon all the church. Okay, so the Son of God tells us Let us resist all iniquity and hate it. Of course, because for Satan rules the heart through his tools, through the mother of harlots. Okay, he'll rule the hearts. So even though you escape, you can say the sin of the world through Jesus Christ, yet if you don't continue to embrace it, okay, you will become entangled again, as also Peter says. Wherefore consider, in comparison here, wherefore consider the works of the evil way. So we want to compare these two systems. Do not withdraw yourselves from others as if you were already justified, but coming together in the assembly into one place, inquire what is agreeable and profitable for the beloved of God, including us. For the scripture says this: woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Okay, so you might want to highlight the word own there in verse 11. So comparing the two systems, one rules by the powers of evil, the other by the power of Christ. Our fellowship is as a sweet savor to God when we express Him only and not ourselves. So we're focusing, says right here, but those that are prudent in their own eyes, okay, are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight, focusing on their own signature. Okay, and of course, by focusing on their own signature, okay, they're not coming of one mind. They are not being spiritually minded, as it says in verse 12 right here. But those that remain independent want to express themselves and not Christ. So let us become spiritual, a perfect temple to God. Okay, now you want to underline the word perfect temple to God, because we'll be talking about that here as he ends this chapter right here in verse 17. So let us become spiritual minded, okay, a perfect temple to God. And as much as in us lies, let us meditate, okay, upon the fear of God. And this, the fear of God, is that he does not withdraw his light from us. Okay, so let's meditate and reflect upon those things, these types and shadows which are provided for us, as concerning Moses and the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Okay, and strive to the utmost of our power, that is, we're exercising our will now, our power to keep his commandments. That's the ordered activity for our faith to be expressed through, that we may rejoice in his righteous judgments. That means when we are sober, then we'll see him. Okay, we'll see his righteous judgments, but only if we're sober-minded. So if you're sober, you will see him. And when you see his judgments being provided for us, then we can rejoice that he is providing us another opportunity to show our love towards him and exercising our faith. Verse 13. For God will judge the world without respect of persons. That means apart from the standing honors of the individual. And everyone should receive according to his works, whether it be wound for wound or healing for healing. These are the judgments of the Lord. If a man shall be good in his faith, concerning his faith, his righteousness shall go before him. For Christ, of course, will be represented in the work of regeneration, and therefore healing will be forthcoming. Okay, so this is good. Okay, remember, God doesn't have respect to persons. If it's wound for wound or healing for healing. Okay, these are his judgments. Okay, but if wicked, which means if he's drawing upon and resourcing the things of this world, the knowledge of this world, the things of this world, to express his faith with God with, okay, the reward of his wickedness shall follow him, okay, as being consumed in the aspirations, and therefore it will be a wound. Okay, one will be a loss, and the other will be gain. One is for healing, the other is for wound. So take heed, therefore, lest standing still, okay, and that is not moving forward in the faith, now that we are called, we fall asleep, becoming ignorant, okay, of as concerning our standing, wound for wound or healing for healing. Okay, so take heed, therefore, lest standing still, now that we are called, we fall asleep in our sins, and the wicked one getting the dominion over us, stir us up. Okay, there stir us up by fear of man, and shut us out of the kingdom of our Lord, allowing the curtain to drop upon our heart. That means the veil upon the heart again. And verse 16, of course, by doing that, you'll be grieving the Holy Ghost. And grieving the Holy Spirit, he will leave. Okay. So the work of regeneration at that point ceases, and iniquity continues to, continues on where it left off. Verse 16, consider this also. Although you have seen so great signs as Christ's coming, of course, and wonders done among the people, of the Jews as to fulfill the promises made to her fathers. Yet this, notwithstanding, the Lord has forsaken them, seeing that to rejoice in the fables and not in the truth. Beware, therefore, as Barnabas is giving distinction for contrast, beware, therefore, lest it happen to us as Christians. As it is written, there may be many called, but few chosen. Okay, chosen in what? In the priesthood to have a perfect temple. So you might want to underline the word chosen there, and draw a line the word chosen in verse 17, okay, across the page there to verse 12, to be a perfect temple of God. And to be a perfect temple of God, okay, you have to be spiritually minded, okay, which means you have to focus on those things for faith, okay, if you want to be a perfect temple of the Lord. Okay, for many be called, but few chosen. But those that are called will have fallen out of the way by evil means. But the chosen are those which continue to lean on Him, okay, for strength. Okay. Okay, chapter 4. Let's continue on here. For this cause did our Lord vouchsafe to give up His body to destruction, that's on the cross, that through the forgiveness of our sins, that removing that law which had power of sin, okay, we might be sanctified. That is by the sprinkling of His blood. Our separation is of power, and not just word only, which is of that covenant. Now for what concerns the things that are written about Him, some belong to the people, the Jews, and some to us, because the things that are written, remember we told, which I have said before, that the scriptures contain them in themselves double revelation, that which appeals to the carnal, and that which gives life, which is to the spiritual. Okay, this is what Barnabas is saying early. Let us become spiritual, verse 12. Okay, so he's providing a parallel right here. Okay, the wonders done among the Jews, yet this withstanding the Lord has forsaken them, verse 16 of the previous chapter. Okay, some for the Jews and some to us. For thus says the Scripture, He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. By His blood, okay, we are healed. So we see His righteous judgments for us in Him, that by His stripes we are healed. And if by His stripes that we receive the benefits, okay, for the healing of our soul, we must also endure contrariness in order to receive the benefit of our faith. Okay, as He also, okay, endured to the end. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, being innocent and without cause, which just also shows the VHP factor. Okay, the VHP factor, vulnerability, humiliation, and pain. Okay, which Jesus had to endure for our salvation. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so He opened not His mouth as to charge falsely or with reproach. Okay, verse 4. Wherefore we ought the more, seeing this parallel for our Christian life, wherefore we ought the more to give thanks unto God, for that He has both declared unto us what is past, okay, as concerning these Jewish traditions, see, and not suffered us to be without understanding, see, of those things which is the hidden purpose of why Christ came, okay, that are to come, okay, by His covenant of propitiation. So seeing His plan in Him, we also rejoice in the judgments He has prepared for our souls. Okay. But now we're going to talk about some snares here in verse 5. But to them that are outside, He says this, the nest, or the, really the nets, it should be nets, not nests there. Okay, the nets are not unjustly spread for the birds. Okay, which means they've been prepared. The net was prepared for the bird to be caught, right? Okay, for He spoke because man would justly perish. Okay, knowing that the snares of life are there in order to take those that wander out of the way. Okay, as a bird descends to receive the prey, he enters into the snare. Okay, this He spoke because a man will justly perish if, having the knowledge of the way, which is the way of faith and patience, okay, and the way of truth. Okay, he shall nevertheless not refrain himself from the way of darkness, being the net to rob us of our rest. The net that robs us of our rest. If we pursue those things which are of this world, the pleasures of this world, the three F's, fantasy, flattery, and finance, if we pursue those things, then we'll abandon the way and we'll end up stepping in the snare. Okay? And then the snare will be taken. Okay, we'll be taken, which means being taken as dead, we will not only be removed from the path, okay, but also we will be restricted. Okay, we'll be restricted with that snare. Okay, verse 7. And for this cause and for this aim, the Lord was content to suffer for our souls. Means he was content being apart from the imagination, because the imagination is where the snare is. Okay, for this cause the Lord was content to suffer for our souls, remaining within the restrictions of the flesh, being God manifest in the flesh. Okay, although he be Lord of the whole earth. Okay. So everything belongs to God, yet he seeks the pleasure of faith. Okay, everything belongs to him, yet he seeks the pleasure of faith. Because faith is expressed by our sovereignty. Okay, we're using our sovereignty with his tools, and he takes delight in that. Okay, so because we are refraining ourselves from working with our imagination, instead of using our sovereignty, okay, with the imagination, we're using our sovereignty with faith. And that pleases God, because we have selected to please him through that restriction, okay, and not to be ensnared by the imagination. Remember, the bird hastens to the snare in order to satisfy its pleasure. And all those that follow in pursuit of the things of this world and the knowledge of the world, okay, to satisfy themselves will be taken in that snare, Satan's snare. For this cause the Lord was content to suffer for our souls, although he be Lord of the whole earth, to whom God said before the beginning of the world, let us make man in our image and likeness. Then image and likeness for the brightness and power that he is to be, that he was created to express to be like me. The likeness and power that he was to express to be like me. Okay, but of course, because of sin, that brightness, the brightness that was in us or around us receded, and now is concealed by the flesh. Okay, as also was depicted in the tabernacle of the wilderness. Okay, where God also was concealed within the curtain. Okay, within a curtain, whereas the ark, the mercy seat was upon the ark, concealed within the second tabernacle called the holiest of all. Okay, that veil was rent from the top to the bottom, and the angel departed from that, and shows that now the brightness of his glory is now going to exceed from in the flesh to outside the flesh by the sacrifice of Christ. So let us make man in our own image and likeness, meaning the brightness and his powers. Okay, the powers now that which work in us. All right, verse 8. Now how he suffered for us, seeing it was by men that he underwent it. That means a transition of power. Went from frailty to power, okay, into his image. Okay, I will show you, Barnabas says here, the prophets having received from him the gift of prophecy. Of course, we would call that a level 2 prophecy there. Okay, the gift of prophecy, which is level 2 prophecy, which the angel of the Lord provides, okay, for the inspiration of your thought patterns. He spoke before concerning him, seeing Christ in his vulnerable stage there of the flesh, fashion of the flesh. Okay, and from VHP to glory. Verse 10, but he that he might abolish death, which has to do with Satan's tools and roots within you, and make known in resurrection from the dead, was content, again apart from the imagination, as it was necessary, to appear in the flesh, that's in the image of man, that he might make good the promise before given to our fathers, which is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, and preparing himself a new people, okay, birthing a new nation, not of the flesh but the spirit. Okay. So we see here, might demonstrate to them, whilst he was upon the earth, that after the resurrection he would judge the world. Okay. That if we accept the yoke of his judgments now, okay, that we enter into that glory. Now we'll see here that two things are being manifested right here. The promise of the flesh and redemption of man. All right, that the promise of the flesh had to do with what he revealed to Adam, that of his own seed, that Christ would come to redeem man. Of his own seed, that he would come in the form of the flesh to redeem man of flesh and remove the power of Satan from the flesh by faith in a new covenant, a covenant he was going to provide in himself. Okay, these are his judgments at this present time. And finally, verse 11, and finally teaching the people of Israel and doing many wonders and signs among them, he preached to them and showed the exceeding great love which he bears towards them, by his promise and his power of regeneration. Okay, and of course this would be carrying in us. okay, carrying in us that work of regeneration, carrying in us that sign of Christ, okay, that the world at this point would wonder at. So here he says here that signs and wonders among them, he preached to them, and word and deed as the impact of grace through faith. Alright, verse 12, and when he chose his apostles, which were afterwards to publish his gospel, he took men who had been very great sinners, maybe removing them from the common. Okay, just like you do a group of sheep. Okay, when you put sheep into the corral through the separator. Okay, the sheep going through there are numbered, and every tenth one is removed. Okay, so the apostles removed from the common fold for a special purpose and a holy purpose. Okay, and it was a consecrated purpose, which means they were destined to fulfill one particular thing. That's what we're doing today, filling one particular thing, please God. Okay, that he might show plainly that he came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance, because he was setting a new hope in God and not man's aspirations. Okay? He was setting a new hope in God and not man's aspirations. That he didn't select those which were, see, if you say competent in worldly sense, but competent in faith. Okay? Because faith makes us competent to God, doesn't it? We know that it says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay, so faith pleases God. Okay, and by faith, okay, we continually draw nigh to him, okay, on the terms of this covenant, so with those that seek him. Okay, through these terms. Verse 13, then he clearly manifested himself to be the Son of God after he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. For had he not come in the flesh, how should men have been able to look upon him, that they might be saved? Because he is the door of the eternal life to those in the flesh who follow his ways. He is the door. That's why Jesus said, I am that door. Okay, I'm that point of entrance. The door is a point of entrance. I'm the point of entrance to eternal life, so you have to come in contact with me for your faith to be made perfect now, as well as also to enter back in the bosom of the Father. You see, later on. Verse 14. Seeing if they beheld only the Son, okay, as an example, he's saying right here, seeing as an example, if they beheld only the Son, which was the work of his hands, shall hereafter cease to be, that they are not able to endure sufficiently to look against the rays of it. If that which is natural is powerful, Christ is much greater in mercy and in power. Okay, if man is not really able to gaze into the Son, which is a created being, okay. How much more of that which is of the eternal value, I mean, the Creator, okay, that we would not be able to gaze upon him unless he shielded himself, okay, and that's why he came in the form of the flesh. The flesh itself was a curtain, okay, which shielded him from the carnal eye. Okay, and so we go on here, wherefore the Son of God came in the flesh for this cause, that he might fill up the measure of their iniquity, to expose their sins and remove its power. Who have persecuted his prophets unto death. For the same reason also he suffered, okay, restricting himself to mercy in the flesh, not to the wrath of his law. Verse 16. For God has said of the stripes, see, of the stripes of his flesh, that they were from them. Okay, that means from them, which means the unbelievers. And I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. Okay, upon the smiting of the shepherd, a new covenant will be given, and a new gospel will be preached by a new group of people. They called the apostles. They will preach this new law. Verse 17. Thus he would suffer, because it behooved him to suffer upon the cross in humiliation, of course, to expose Adam's beastly nature. Okay, which also was a sign of Satan's anger of God's promise to Adam. So he wrote these acts. He wrote down these acts of aggression, which be expressed, okay, of his ways, okay, through his vessels, okay, whom he chose. And so we can see the oppression and aggression, okay, against the prophets of the Lord, okay, which continually brought the people, as the in remembrance of God's promise, okay, which of course Satan abhors, because Satan's goal is to war against all the righteous, so that not one of them. Okay, will okay, ascend the orders, okay, to enter into the promise of God. For thus one says, prophesying concerning him, he says, spare my soul from the sword, and again, pierce my flesh from your fear. So he wrote down these acts to show the aggressive and beastly nature of Adam against truth. And again, the congregation of wicked doers rose up against me. Okay, the congregation of the wicked doers, the dogs, the bulls, the lions, the serpents, the dragons, you know, Psalms 22 and Psalms 91 speaks of these things, okay, rose up against me. Again, the beastly nature of Adam, okay, being challenged, Satan inflaming their passions against the truth in order to keep them, okay, in darkness so that they will not ascend the orders, okay, to sit on the thrones, okay, as God promised. Okay, they have pierced my hands and my feet. Okay, and again, he says, I gave my back to the smiters, and my face, I set as a hard rock. Okay, and my face as a hard rock against the transgressors. Okay, that God's promise, his plan, is immovable. Even though the sinners stand around the stone and shout against it, it will not move. Okay, and so God has established the same policy within our own hearts, that we will not be moved by the shouting of the sinners, okay, that we also can be as a rock, okay, being in him, okay, as a rock. Chapter 5. Okay, now, and when he had fulfilled the commandment of God, which is concerning his sacrifice, what says he? Okay, who will contend with me? Who is competent to stand against this rock and to shout against it? Not one voice, okay, is able to move that rock. Let him stand against me. Or who is he that will plead me? Let him draw near to the servant of the Lord, okay, which he represents himself through. Only the proud will be punished, for they resist grace. Why? To impose their principle on that rock, okay, and impose their principle as righteousness against God's righteousness. Okay, for faith. God has provided us already a pattern which we're to build with, but sinners want to shout against it. And because they said, we will not have this rock, we will not have this man, we will not have this steward to reign over us. Okay, of course, Jesus brings it out in the parable, doesn't he? Okay, in Luke. Okay, woe be to you, he says to the transgressors, woe be to you, because you shall wax old as a garment. You cannot live forever. Okay, your life down here is temporary. The time of your testimony, or time of your testing, okay, and of course my testimony in the earth, okay, is for this time. If you accept it, you have life. If you reject it, then you greet death. Because you shall all wax old as a garment, and the moth shall eat you up, your works shall perish as your soul. And again, the prophet adds this to this, being a rock. Right? He is put for stumbling, right? Behold, I lay in Zion, okay, for a foundation, a precious stone, or rock, a choice cornerstone, an honorable stone. And what follows? Okay? And what follows, he says, is there anything added to this? And he that hopes in him shall live forever. There is nothing greater, okay, than himself. The man and the method will be condemned by the sinners because God did not favor their choice for faith. Okay, works apart from the covenant are not accepted of him. Okay. So again, they're against the stone. So what you can do is highlight the word rock there, hard rock, and then highlight the word stone. Okay, you see how many times in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times the word stone is mentioned right there in that one section there. Okay, because this is, of course, the Apostle Barnabas is addressing this, that we also would stand fast in the faith, okay, and not to be moved by the wiles of the devil. Okay, the wiles have to do with the schemes which he creates to the lips of sinners in order to remove confidence, the confidence of the faithful from the rock. Okay, verse 3. What then? Is our hope built upon a stone? Okay, is it built upon a stone? No, it's not. Okay, not reality. Can we, as a stone here, as is our hope really in Solomon's temple? Okay, no, that's the wrong covenant. Our hope is not upon the stone. Okay, it is upon Christ, who is that rock, but not upon the stone, which is, you know, which has to do with the mineral. Okay, God forbid. Okay, but because the Lord has hardened his flesh against the sufferings, he says this, harden his flesh against sufferings. He used the word flesh right there. You might want to highlight that. That's an important note. Okay, it wasn't a stone that brought our salvation. It was flesh that brought salvation. But he stood as a stone. Okay, against the words of the transgressors, okay, hanging on the cross. Okay, the Lord has hardened his flesh against the sufferings. He says this, I put me as a firm rock. Okay, how can a stone suffer? Can't. But the Spirit points to flesh, not to stone. Verse 4. Again, the prophet adds, now the reason why Barnabas is putting this as writing this is because those which came into the faith are trying to improve your Christian life through observance of the law. That means they're trying to build on a physical stone and not on a spiritual rock, okay, which is Jesus Christ. Now, those that observe the law are building on Solomon's stone, okay, which, of course, is temporal, okay, which also passed away. Okay, and so the prophet adds this, the stone which the builders refused, being Christ, has become the head of the corner. Okay, for those whose heart the Lord circumcised can see what the prophet is saying here. Okay, the stone which the builders refused, being Christ, has become the head of the corner. And again, he says this, this is a great and wonderful day. This is a mystery. This is a day which the Lord has made. Okay, which the Lord has made, identifies the time. And the time of this fulfillment, okay, is the day which the Lord has made, and this we rejoice and be glad in it. Our confidence is built upon this act, okay, not on a piece of marble or a piece of granite, okay, but on flesh itself, being Christ, okay, coming in the form of the flesh. Okay. Now I write these things the more plainly to you, Barnabas says here, that you may understand, for indeed I could be content even to die for your sakes, as Christ our rock died to build a new temple for our souls. Okay, as Christ our rock died to build a new temple for our souls. But what says the prophet again? The counsel of the wicked compasses me. All right, when he says the word me there, he's talking about a man, not a stone. It compasses me about. They came about me, a man, as bees about the honeycomb, and upon my vesture they cast lots, being a man, not a stone. For as much then as our Savior was to appear in the flesh, not a stone, and suffer, his passion was hereby foretold. Okay, that means by foresight of the Spirit. Okay, the Spirit, by foresight of the Spirit, it was spoken through the lips of the prophets, and of course recorded for our edification, okay, concerning this plan. You can see the pattern of God, or you can understand the rhythm of the Spirit throughout the centuries, through every covenant. The rhythm of the Spirit is that the Spirit makes alive, okay, this knowledge in each covenant, and the knowledge in each covenant always pointed to Christ. Okay, not to the stone, but to the flesh. Okay, not to the physical temple of what that was constructed by hands, but a temple made without hands, okay, which is Christ. Verse 7. But thus says the prophet against Israel, woe be to their soul, because they have taken wicked counsel against themselves, saying, let us lay snares for the righteous, because he is unprofitable to us. He's not honoring our theology. And so therefore, we don't want to place his stone among our stones. Okay, we don't want to place his stone among our stones. Okay, it shows that the builders, okay, or here, as he's saying right here, woe, the prophet speaks against Israel, okay, that they were constructing okay, buildings of their own philosophy, called also building altars of Baal. Okay, they were corrupting their own soul through their own philosophies, which is a barrier against the grace of God. Their philosophies not reflecting Christ, but reflected their own image. That's what they loved. Okay, that's why their whole society, okay, the whole race of Israel, fell into apostasy. Because everything that they constructed, they wanted to reflect their aspiration. They wanted to reflect their image. Okay, and people that read the scriptures, okay, in the light of darkness, if you want to call it that, okay, they read scriptures in the light of their own image. Okay, they try to place themselves, okay, into the activity of scripture apart from covenant, apart from government, apart from truth, and apart from spirit. Okay, so therefore their hearts still remain blinded. Okay, to the purpose of God. Purpose of God and the plan of God. Okay, verse 8. Moses also in like manner speaks to them. Behold, thus saith the Lord God. And that God is making distinction again, isn't he? enter you into the good land. Okay, Barnabas is bringing down, now he's bringing it from the stone to the rock, right, from the rock to the stone, now to the good land. Okay, showing the symbolisms or the types and shadows, which represent a prophecy in them. See, it represents a prophecy. A prophecy is concealed in these things, okay, which the Spirit speaks to us through. Now, the Spirit is speaking to us through the lips of these symbolisms, so that we can behold Christ. So when he says, enter into the good land, okay, of which the Lord has sworn to Abraham, though it was a land physically, but he was also speaking, okay, in a form of a parable. Okay, in the form of a parable. Something else was concealed in that knowledge. So he sworn to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he would give it to you and possess it, a land flowing with milk and honey. Okay, so here we see another rock to flesh. Okay, we see another rock to flesh here, also as a land flowing with milk and honey. Okay, so from the stone to the flesh, and from the land also to the flesh. In verse 9, Barnabas continues. Now, what the spiritual meaning of this is, learn. Okay, spiritual meaning. So you might want to highlight that word, spiritual meaning. Okay, the spiritual meaning. Now, we know he is talking about a physical land that flows with milk and honey. That's true. They entered into a land that was prosperous. Okay, but that was by promise through Joshua, who was the rest. Okay, now, but that perished. Okay, that came to an end. Joshua died and another judge came, didn't he? The land fell into idolatry. Okay, so was it still flowing with milk and honey? No, it didn't flow with milk and honey. It flowed with dust and famine. Okay. So also all souls that have not embraced the promises of God, okay, will continue to flow with dust, the dust of the famine. Okay, that the word of the Lord be scarce in that soul. There is no water in that soul. There's no water in that land. So in verse 9, now what the spiritual meaning of this is, learn. Okay. It is as if it had been said, put your trust in Jesus. Put your trust in Jesus, the rock. Put your trust in Jesus, okay, the good land. Okay. Who shall be manifested to you in the flesh? Okay, so you might want to learn the word flesh again. Okay. For man is the earth, okay, which suffers drought and famine. Okay. For as much as out of the substance of the earth, which was cursed, by the way, Adam was formed, showing God's curse, that God did curse the flesh. He cursed the flesh when he cursed the soil. When he cursed the soil, he cursed his labor. See, the man's labor with the soil. That whatever man labors with, which is earthbound, will condemn himself. Okay, which also represents tithing. That's a curse, see? Okay, so those that practice those things that spring of the soil, whatever is found in the soil, okay, is accursed of God. Because Christ is not in the soil. He rose from the dead. Okay, now if Christ is still buried in soil, okay, then our faith would be those things which spring in the earth, see? But Christ rose from the dead, so our hope would be in him now. Okay, that he is our contact point, not gold and silver. Okay, not animal sacrifices. Okay, not the priestly washings and baptisms. Okay, neither the stained glass window, not the bread and the wine. Anything that springs of the soil is a curse of God, because God cursed the ground for man's sake. To show the reason he showed in that those which come of the soil would try to find themselves in the soil. Okay? But he gives us the Spirit in order to illuminate us, okay, that even though we're made of the soil, yet he breathed within us, that there is a second event that's there to bring illumination, which shows Christ rising from the dead. Okay, when he breathed in Adam the Spirit of life. Okay, verse 10. What therefore does he mean when he says, into a good land? So you might want to highlight the word good land again. Okay, flowing with milk and honey. Now Barnabas says here, blessed be our Lord who has given us wisdom. So Barnabas is saying, can you see the direction where the Spirit is taking this now? Okay, when he says, that which flows with milk and honey. Okay, how that the land being blessed by the presence of the Spirit continues to increase and multiply. How much more our own souls? Okay, having been engrafted with grace and truth, will continue to multiply of his likeness. Remember, we were created in his image and his likeness, okay, in the power of his light, and see the powers and also of his likeness, okay, the virtue of what he is. This is what we carry, but nothing else in this dimension carries that virtue. The fish don't, the birds don't, the cows don't, but we do. Okay? So we, that shows that we were made in His image. Even though the other creatures follow the path of their own instinct. So those also that are born into the soil follow the path of their own instinct, shall also be received back to the dust again. Okay, but we have a better hope. Okay, we have a better hope that once we depart from the flesh, we enter into Him, into the bosom of our Father Himself. Okay, because all right, let's go on here. So what therefore does He mean when He says into a good land flowing with milk and honey? Well, blessed be our Lord who has given us wisdom and a heart to understand His secrets, because this shows that our mind and our hearts are being circumcised by the Spirit. Okay, to understand His secrets. For so says the prophet. Okay, who shall understand the hard sayings of the Lord? Okay, that the hard sayings, underline the word hard, because he's talking about, is he really talking about a stone, or is he talking about a person? Is he really talking about soil, or is he talking about a person? Okay, well, he's talking about Christ here, even though he gives us these parallels, okay, or parables. See, but he that is wise and intelligent, and that loves his Lord, those that are dining on the grace and not bread of the soil will see these things. Verse 11. Seeing therefore, now that he's giving us sight, eyes to see and a heart to perceive, seeing therefore he has renewed us by the remission of our sins, this is for the work of regeneration, yet he has put us into another frame. Okay, not that which is of the stone of Solomon, but into Christ himself. A different frame. Which means a different frame which has different rules. Okay, not the rules of that which is of the marble, but that which is now of Christ. That we should have souls like those of children. Okay, that we are now entering to a new kingdom, being born again. Forming us again himself. Okay, but by the Spirit. Okay, not of the soil. Okay, when he forms us anew, he didn't come down and scoop up a bunch of soil in his hand and breathe into it again, did he? No, he took that which was already made and but breathed into it new life. Okay, making us children again. Okay, making us children again, giving us a new birth, a new start, a new beginning. Therefore, we're seeing the new land. Verse 12, for thus says the scripture this, concerning us, we're introduced the Father speaking to the Son. Let us, showing the record and the witness, make man in our likeness and similitude. In the likeness of this virtue, in the similitude, which means the powers of the will. Okay, can you imagine that? Look at the powers of the will that God provided for us. Okay, such powers. Okay, from the mobility of angels and of clouds, which the beasts of the earth do not have. Okay, the enlightenment, the hope, faith. Okay, the beasts of the earth do not have these powers, which we possess, because we're in His image. Okay, and let them have dominion. Let them who are in His likeness have dominion and to rule over the beasts of the earth. See, those which are void of virtue. Okay, those which are born of the Spirit will rule over those which are born of the soil. And we'll see this not only in our own life. If you're truly born of the Spirit, you will rule over the soil, that which is carnal. When we come back in the ninth week, we also of the Spirit will rule over those of the soil of the earth. Okay, and over the fowls of the air and the fish of the sea, as creatures, okay, as creatures of instinct and not faith. Verse 13. Now, and when the Lord saw the man which he had formed, that behold, it was very good because it was sanctified, he said, increase and multiply. Now, you might want to highlight that or underline that. Increase and multiply. Say, this is part of God's likeness. Okay, that whatever He does, okay, is continually perpetual. Okay, 6 billion people exist in the world, okay, from just two seeds. Okay, actually one seed, okay, meaning Adam. Okay, one seed produced a multitude, and Christ also is can produce a multitude greater than that which the flesh did. Okay, that which is spirit, okay, is going to be far greater, being though it will be second, is far greater than that which is of the soil. Remember, first the soil was made, then God breathed into it. Okay, so the elder shall serve the younger, being the Spirit. But the Spirit, okay, will prevail over that which was first, meaning Christ rising from the dead Okay, we'll rule over the passions of man by faith in him. Okay, and he said increase and multiply. So that through the system he provided for us in his son, okay, we will continue to multiply and build his kingdom. Okay, by faith in him. Okay, and replenish the earth, which is the soul. And this he spoke to his son, okay, Jesus as to Adam. See the parallels there, the parallels here. He said it to Adam, he said it to Jesus. Okay, verse 14. I will now show you how he made us a new creature in the latter days, okay, in fulfillment of this holy command. Be fruitful and multiply. Okay, verse 15. The Lord said, behold, I will make the last as the first. I will make the youngest as the elder. The last as the first, as the younger as the elder. Okay, that we will be raised from the dead and enter into his image. Okay, the last as the elder. Wherefore the prophet thus spoke, enter into a land flowing with milk and honey. Okay, and have dominion over it. Again, the spirit rules over the flesh. Wherefore, you see how we are again formed anew. Okay, milk and honey, okay, is the blessing of the land, and fruit to God is a blessing of regeneration. You continue to increase in knowledge. You continue to abound in charity and increase in faith. Okay, that shows that your land is flowing with milk and honey, a benefit. Okay, it benefits. The land brings forth the benefit of it. Okay, to those that sow and plow it and reap it. Okay, that plow, sow, and reap. Okay, so let us labor with the tools of this covenant, and let us also plow, sow, and reap. Okay, the things of the Spirit, that we also be as a land flowing with milk and honey, that we can be a blessing, that our labor be a blessing to others, and this is what we do through the expression of charity. Okay, the expression of charity, your level one prophecies, okay, is that flowing of milk and honey. Wherefore we see how we are again formed anew, as also he speaks by another prophet. Behold, saith the Lord, I will take from them, that is, from those whom the Spirit of the Lord foresaw, their hearts of stone. I will take from them the hearts of stone, carnal to spiritual. Carnal to spiritual. This is why he's saying this. I will remove them from the covenant of Solomon, and bring him to the covenant of my Christ. Okay, so he says, for the Lord, the Spirit, foresaw this work, prophesied through Ezekiel. And he said this, the hearts of stone. I will replace the hearts of stone and put in them the hearts of flesh. From Solomon's temple to Christ. Okay, from stone to flesh. And we, in faith in him, will go from flesh to flame. Okay, from that which is temporal to that which is eternal. As by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, verse 17. Because he is about to be made manifest in the flesh, Christ coming, and to dwell in us as temples to sanctify our souls, as he did also the land in which the temple dwelt. As long as the temple was sanctified and the faith of the people was being expressed, the land was blessed. Okay, they had peace from their enemies. There was prosperity in all the days of Solomon. Okay, that even a piece of silver in the days of Solomon was counted as the rubble of the street because of the plenitude of gold. Okay, that there was not one poor among them. Okay, all the people were employed. Okay, the wages were good, and there was no oppression. Okay, but there was peace in the land. The demons were bound. Okay, the demons were bound. The land was cleansed. Okay, and there was peace in the land. It flowed with milk and honey. Okay, how much more in our own souls? For my brethren, the habitation of our heart is a holy temple unto the Lord, as he says in verse 18. For the Lord said again, in what place shall I appear before the Lord my God and be glorified? Shall I be glorified in stone, or shall I be glorified in the flesh? Well, I'll be glorified in the flesh, because I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, saith the Lord. And he answers, in verse 19, he answers, I will confess unto you in the congregation. Of the flesh, that is, in the midst of the brethren, okay, in the midst of the brethren, in the soul I'll be glorified, and I will multiply a new people, prospering the understanding as with milk and honey, okay, and I will sing unto you in the church of the saints, that means that as in the days of harvest, okay, in the feast days, as the days of the harvest, Okay, as they rejoice in the peace and prosperity of the land, okay, how much more should we rejoice as concerning the fruit bearing that he initiates within us through the craftsmanship of his own hands. Okay? And a shout of a kingdom is among them. Okay? And the Lord shall rejoice in that day, okay, when he rewards us for the fruit that we bear for him, as a king shouts among a plentiful harvest. Okay? As a king shouts among a plentiful harvest. Verse 20. Wherefore we are they. That sounds funny. Wherefore we are they. We are they. Yes, as the parallel goes, we are being the new church. We are they, as those of the harvest. We are they whom he has brought into that good land, okay, by a better covenant. That's his own self. Verse 21. But what signifies the milk and the honey? Okay, now Barnabas is going to answer that question. Okay, now he brought it to our attention, didn't he? And he says, now let me describe this to you in the parallel in a spiritual way, the spiritual meaning of this. Because as a child is nourished first with milk and then with honey, so we also shall mature, okay, as with milk and honey. Okay, so we, being kept alive by the belief of his promises and his words, shall live and have dominion over the land. Okay, those of faith will overcome the passions of the wicked, of their wicked appetites, from milk to honey. Okay? From that which a babe sucks upon, unto that which now we dine upon for our pleasure. Okay, we take pleasure in spiritual things. Okay, so we're dining on the honey. Okay, we're dining on the honey. Verse 22. For he foretold above, saying, increase and multiply. So you might want to highlight that. Again, increase and multiply. See how he's breaking it down? First, he brings to our attention is concerning the good land. Or he brings to our attention first the stone, the rock. Okay, then the Apostle Barnabas breaks it down for our understanding to show the parallel in our own spiritual life. Okay, that we also have to overcome. Okay, all this shows right here, okay, his propitiatory sacrifice. Okay, that we are held responsible, okay, in order to provide our souls as being that land. Okay, as the prophet also said, break up the fallow ground. Okay, break up the fallow ground. He's saying, according to terms of covenant, you have to initiate, okay, the act of faith, okay, to the knowledge and the words which I'm speaking to you. For he foretold above, saying, increase and multiply, and have dominion. There he says dominion again. Increase and multiply, and have dominion. See that we are to rule. Okay, we are to rule by the things of the Spirit in order to increase the fruit within us. We rule by faith in him. You rule over sin only by faith in him. Okay, so therefore we rule over the carnal ambitions and instincts. Okay, over the fishes, and etc., he says right here. Showing that by regeneration, okay, and by the power of that regeneration, we taste his goodness and fellowship with holy things. See? So we have dominion, and we multiply. This is God's likeness and his image. Okay, being Lord and King over all things. Okay, that he is promising this to us. Okay, if we choose, okay, to serve him, if we love him more than these things, if we love him more than things that satisfy the flesh, then we shall overcome. Okay. Verse 23. But who is there that is now able to have this dominion over the wild beasts or fishes? Now he says to have this dominion right now, okay, that was lost at Adam's fall. Okay, and the animals remain in a state of rebellion against man. Okay, you notice that? Animals still remain in a state of rebellion against man. Okay, that they refuse to come the animals do not willfully come under our dominion. They flee our presence as if we stink. Okay, they flee our presence as if we stink because they do not want to come under the man's dominion because man sinned. Okay, and man continues to sin against not only himself, okay, but against all flesh. Everything that he creates, the land which God provided for him, he continues to sin against it, including it. And we can see the judgments of the Lord, his righteous judgments being manifest in the book of Revelation. Okay, when God judges the endeavors of man's work in the earth by smiting the earth with plagues. Okay, heat and darkness and blood. Okay, and famines. Okay, and hail and earthquakes. Okay, that the land itself is testifying to man, okay, that he is testifying of the disposition of man, that man's heart is evil. Okay, and that the land itself does not want him here. Okay, but who is there that is now able to have dominion? To have this dominion over the wild beasts, over or fishes, or fowls of the air. For you know that to rule is to have power, that a man should be set over what he rules. Okay. Is it now in our flesh to rule, or by faith in Christ? Well, we rule over by faith in Christ. But we don't see this at this, the manifestation of it at this time. But we will see that, okay, in the millennium, okay, where a child shall lead them, okay, where the ox will lie down with the bear, okay, as the lamb also with the lion, okay, the child shall play upon the hole of an ass, and yet will not have the fear of being bit by the ass, okay, that's millennial, okay, that's the ninth week. But we can see the types and shadows in that, okay, that even though we are beset upon many sinful things, okay, yet God, because God puts peace within our heart, we're not overwhelmed by the poison, nor the roar, say, nor the tearing of the lion, the bear, or the venom of the ass. See, that we're not in fear of those things, seeing that the Lord continually cleanses us. Okay, so you see a twofold prophecy in that. That the man should be set over what he rules. Verse 24. For as much, okay, we have about 4 minutes left, so you might get your sacrifices ready. Okay, but for as much as this we have now, not now, he says, he tells us when we shall have it, namely, when we shall become perfect. That means that temple. Okay, perfect, there's this, again, two-point application. Perfect in faith now to overcome the venom of the beast, okay, the venom of the snake, and also to rule over serpents, okay, and to crush the head of the serpent even during the millennium. Okay, namely, when we shall become perfect, that we may be made the inheritance of the covenant of the Lord. So we see this pattern which the Spirit uses to give us hope. If we rule over the three S now, we shall also be counted worthy to reign with Christ in the ninth into tenth week. See, if you can rule over these simple things now which are invisible, how much more over the things which are visible during the tenth, ninth, and tenth week? You've got 3 minutes to go here, and we'll get to this next chapter. Chapter 6. Understand then, my beloved children, that the good God has before manifest all things unto us. Okay, manifested all things to us is concerning the tools and promises that he's provided for our faith, that we might know to whom we ought to always to give thanks and praise. So we worship him with the tools that he sanctified for our faith now, so that we can also receive the benefit of that glory later. Okay? Even though we carry within our vessels of the earthen vessels right now a portion of that glory, being the fruit of that virtue he's placing within us, even though we know in part now, we should see him face to face. That he will open us up and show us all the work of his craftsmanship, like bringing to the attention, okay, unveiling. Okay, like you would do with some kind of a piece of artwork, okay, like somebody sculptures a piece of art. Okay, then there's a time of the unveiling, okay, like unveiling a new vehicle or unveiling a new ship, okay, or some kind of new product. Okay, the time of unveiling, everybody stands around in expectation and are ready to applause. Okay, the design or the craftsmanship of this great technology. Okay, how much more will the Lord also applaud, as well as the angels, see the work of our endurance, okay, his patience working within us as we continue to endure contrariness in this dimension. Okay, even the angels stand in awe, okay, shock and awe, okay, at this work. They will stand in shock and awe, okay, when he unfolds unto us the brightness of his glory. If therefore the Son of God, who is Lord of all, and shall come to judge both the quick and the dead, okay, the quick which means those which are alive, and those which passed on, okay, has suffered, the BHP factor, that by his stripes we might live. Okay, let us believe that the Son of God could not have suffered but for us, okay, not for the animal kingdom, but for us, so that we can ascend the orders. Okay, but being crucified, they gave him vinegar and gall to drink. Okay, now we're talking about another topic here. Okay, now we talked about the rock, the stones. We talked about also the temple. Okay, we also talked about the good land with milk and honey. Now we're going to be talking about sacrifices here concerning, say, bulls and goats. Okay, bulls and goats here. See, so through the lashes of pain, he opened to us a door of faith. Okay, we now have faith and life with. Okay, so he suffered for us. But being crucified, they gave him vinegar and gall to drink. All right. Well, why did they give him vinegar and gall to drink? To fulfill his role as a sacrifice for us. That's why he gave him vinegar and gall to drink. Okay, and we're going to stop right there because it's now 8:30. Okay, let me make a note on that. Okay, and we're getting ready to offer sacrifices here. Okay, that was 6. And we'll pick up here Saturday.